Well, welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, including Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you listening to us, watching us. It's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. This is going to be a fun-sized episode, but it's going to be so much fun because I haven't talked to these two in a long time, and they haven't talked to each other in a long time. So I don't even know if I'm going to get a word in edgewise, but we got a flashback here. Our everybody's favorite heavy metal DJ, Hannah, is co-hosting today. She's in the hair salon, right?
I am.
Yeah. So she's in a hair salon. So this is going to be audio only. But what are they going to do with your hair today?
Just a little bit of upkeep here, with the extensions and all that girl stuff, here at the roots.
Right. Yeah. Well, you were saying how you like my new My Chemical Romance do, which is basically I haven't cut my hair in a couple months. And every woman says that, but I think they're goofing with me. That's what I think. Yeah. And we'll see if our other guest agrees with you. I haven't talked to her in a long time. I guess I'm going to see her very shortly when I go to Las Vegas. And also, next week, and we're going to get into that. It's Dakota, the bearded lady.
Hello.
Hi.
Before we get started, I do have to say that we are being sponsored by Ray's Energy Drink. There it is, Ray's Energy Drink. I'm drinking it straight, so to speak. And Nicole is mixing hers with vodka, which it mixes well. This is the new juice box flavor, which is very juicy, very tasty.
Delicious.
Delicious. One of their wonderful, great flavors.
Mind if I try a little flavor, a little taste of that?
Yeah, you can have some of mine.
Yeah, I'm trying. I want to see.
Oh my God, he's gonna drink it out of the can.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I don't personally take it in the can, but you might get
cooties. So we'll see what happens.
It's very good.
Yes,
I have to say it's very, very tasty.
And the best part about it: zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash.
Very, very good.
And they don't have it at 7-Elevens or grocery stores. They have it at GNCs and vitamin shops. And I know you're a big weightlifter, so you go to those places.
Sometimes, yes.
not lately, but I understand. Yeah. So don't pay full price. Go to the description in the podcast, wherever you're listening to us on podcasts, or on YouTube, and you'll get a link. 15% off a case of Ray's Energy Drink. You can get Juice Box. You can get the new ginger ale. You can get all sorts of great flavors. Baja Lime tastes like Baja Blast from Taco Bell.
Juice Box is great.
Yes.
So I'll let you two catch up for a little bit. Dakota's living in Las Vegas now. I don't know if you know that, Hannah.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, when did that happen and what prompted it?
Oh, God, like 3 years ago, dude.
Oh, whoa. Time's flying.
Right? Seriously. Oh, God. What prompted it? I just needed to get out of California. I wasn't in the best living situation when I was out there, and it just kind of came to a head. So my biological dad lives out here in Vegas, so I moved out here, and I've been out here for about 3 years now.
Wow. It was a pandemic is when you moved, because I'm trying to think.
Yeah, it would have been January 2021, so like right when things were kind of getting a little bit better. It was an interesting time. And it's really funny because, you think of Las Vegas as like this big place, but it's really not that big. You can get across town in like 20 minutes. And I mean, there's some traffic, but it is nothing compared to the bumper-to-bumper mess of the 405. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, there's very little that compares to that. Maybe the LIE and the San Antonio traffic, but
maybe.
It used to be a lot better. Now it's, I mean, the traffic is exponentially worse there, and it's probably going to get even worse. But it's not as bad as L.A. But
the
other misconception. Like, go ahead. You were going to say.
Oh, I was going to say, like you said, it's nothing really is like that L.A. traffic.
Right. The other misconception is you think Sin City, it's a lot of wild, free-spirited people, but what people don't know, and I know, is because it's basically a lot of Trumpers.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, you didn't know that, Hannah? Oh, yeah.
When I think about Vegas, I think about, like, porn stars and gambling.
Porn stars are there.
Yeah, but the thing is, the porn stars are the ones that voted for Trump. No,
they're probably
some of them. Some of them.
Some of them fuck Trump too. That's yeah, another thing. That's but true. But no, he and then you got the 80s heavy metal stars. They've all moved there. Vince Neil and all those other.
Yeah.
Mark Slaughter and all these. Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg lived out here.
Yeah. What? Yeah. A lot of people are leaving LA, and there's reasons too. I mean, I'm not wherever people want to live, where they want to live, but LA now is not what LA was even 3-4 years ago.
No, it really isn't. It really isn't. I mean, even just coming back to LA whenever I do, it's always really interesting because I'm like, this is not the same place that I left.
Right. Now, if you go to Austin, that's the LA that was 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, right. I mean, but even Austin is kind of like not the same as it was. It's Waco these days.
Oh, is Waco the new Austin? I didn't know.
Yeah, Waco's the new Austin.
Wow, keep Waco weird.
Yeah, right.
So, have you been able to get enough? I know that you know, as all artists do, we all have day jobs, but I know that. You did get a lot of work in Halloween. You were working on some sort of freak show.
So actually, Halloween was really interesting. Halloween, I was out in Oklahoma City.
Oh, is that where you were working? Okay.
Yeah, I was in Oklahoma City. I was working for Frontier City. It's a Six Flags amusement park. And I was working with Freak Show Deluxe because I love them. And yeah, it was fantastic. I only had to work like 2-3 days a week. And it was awesome. It was so nice. And I was, you know, out of town. And, you know, they have this like really cool little apartment on the property that I got to live in, which was so cool. So I literally just lived at an amusement park.
That's cool.
It was so cool. And like, they were only open on the weekends. So like weekdays, I could just wander around the amusement park doing whatever I wanted. It was so much fun.
It sounds like a video game.
It really was. It was weird.
Have you put any new, you know, tricks into your routine?
So, yeah, I can now snap bear traps on my body, which is it's a lot of fun. And I learned how to do this act. It's called the Electric Lady. This is it's an old one, but basically I was standing on a box that was like hooked up to power, and I was standing on these like metal plates. And then whenever you turn on the power, there was electricity flowing through my body. And if I touched a light bulb, the light bulb would light up. And then if I touched a torch that was, you know, soaked in fuel, I could light that just with my hand.
Ooh.
You feel a sensation in your body when that's happening?
So it feels kind of tingly.
Okay.
It was interesting. It was like a very mild tingly feeling, but it was interesting. Like you could feel it through your nerves.
Right.
Yeah.
I love it.
Which, you know, it beats the first time I let electricity flow through my body, which was when I was a teenager and I got one of those fly swatters, you know, the ones that are like electrified. Yeah, as a teenager, I thought it would be funny to stick my finger in there. And let me tell you, that was the first time I felt electricity and it did not feel good.
Well, it feel better. I did that last year on purpose.
I mean, I did it on purpose then too.
You guys, everybody stuck their finger in bug zappers. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, most guys have stuck their dick in. No, I can't say that a lot. I'm sorry, but go. I mean,
Mark. No.
Now tell us the story, Mark. Let's hear your bug zapper story.
Yeah.
No, I like everybody else. I put my finger in once, and then you know, I zapped, and I recoiled. But getting back to the other thing, the bear trap. Where do you put the bear trap on your body?
I put it over my elbow. Mm. So what I do is there's a trigger mechanism in the bear trap. The bear trap is open, and there's a trigger mechanism right in the middle. So if like the bear were to step into the trap, it would close up around the bear's leg. You know. Mm. So what I do is I use my elbow and I hit that trigger mechanism and it snaps the trap around my forearm and around my upper arm and traps my elbow, basically.
Yeah. Have you had any, like, uh-ohs?
I did have one where I got it right on the joint, and that was a really shitty feeling.
My bad.
Fucked. I kind of scraped myself trying to get out of it. You know, you got to learn how to not only, you know, take it, but also how to get out of it, because it is very strong, and you know, I need two people to help me open it. Myself and one other person to like open it while I'm on stage. And unfortunately, you know, when I was off stage, you know, other people were on stage doing their thing. There was nobody really to help me get it open. So it was just a lot of learning how to get out of that without, you know, pinching myself or like scraping myself or anything like that. It was an interesting learning experience.
Now, is that the most dangerous stunt you've done on stage, or was there something more dangerous?
You know, I always, it's going to sound silly, but I always like to remind people that the human blockhead is one of the most dangerous things that a sideshow performer can do. And that's where you hammer the nail into your nose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of the most dangerous because there are just so many opportunities to go wrong. I was performing with a gentleman who was using a drill bit to do the human blockhead. And he was drilling it into his head. It wasn't even a drill bit. It was like a porch, like, Bill, I don't even know what it was. All I know is that he somehow, it didn't detach from the drill and he pulled it out and it completely stripped the inside of his sinus. There was blood everywhere. Yes. Yeah.
Was that like an ER? Like, rush to the ER? Did he take care of it himself?
He took care of it himself.
How?
You just kind of deal with it. You let it stop bleeding and you just kind of deal with it. I know that he did end up going to urgent care and getting a tetanus shot, I think, and you know, he kind of flushed it out with like a neti pot and everything. I mean, there's really not a lot that you can do. You can't exactly like bandage your sinuses. You can't exactly get stitches in there. You just kind of got to deal with it and wait for it to heal and make sure you're up to date on your tetanus shots.
And Jesus don't Christ. Use drills. Use a hammer and do it really slowly. I know the trick.
Yeah, you know the trick.
You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to do that.
But, I mean, I've known plenty of people that have done that. It was just an unfortunate, you know, moment, and it's just another reminder that everything that we do on stage is 100% real. You know, which is something that I like to remind people all the time. Like, listen, this is all real. And sometimes we get a little too comfortable, and we think that, you know, we're so good of performers and that we've done this 1 million times that nothing bad is going to happen. But unfortunately, there's that 1 million and 1. And, well, you know, you end up stripping the inside of your nasal cavity.
Mm. Our prior sponsor, Tactical Soap. Tactical we are sponsored soap? By Tactical Soap. Andrew, we are sponsored
Don't
by
drop
Tactical
it in
Soap.
The prison.
No. Tactical Soap is pheromone infused soap.
Really?
And Vanya, you know, you want a guy,
just write it in
you
there.
Want a guy to smell good, don't you?
I sure do, because I like to eat him up.
Right. Well, you'll be eating this up because they have three variations of three different soaps.
Oh, okay.
Maverick. Bond and Durden.
Bond, that's for me.
And they have soaps.
Maverick.
James Bond.
Right. They have Maverick. Yeah. Bond is for the older men. And so, but they have three different variations of the soap. Great smelling. I'm waiting for myself to come, but they have soaps. They have deodorant. They have lotions. They have all sorts of stuff. Go to the description in this podcast and get your tactical soap.
Get your soap on.
Exactly.
Soapy.
And which begs the question now, how many people think your beard is fake?
Oh, so many people. It happens all the time. People are like, did you just stick that on? No. Like, I'm going to go through.
Yank your beard to make sure it's real and all that.
I've had people try, but I think that the general public has kind of grown to learn that, like, I don't take that crap. Mm. There was a time where I was working at a bar in LA, and some guy came up to me, and he went to reach for my beard, and I just put my hand against the back of his and, like, pushed it up, and he ended up smacking himself in the face with his own hand. Mm. I was like, don't touch me. And just walked away. So, like, yeah, I think I just kind of hold myself with the air of don't fuck with me. I am so open to questions and to people being respectful, but I am not open to people being, you know, a little bitch about it. Shut up.
Well, hopefully he detests his sinuses from the impact.
Right?
Well,
I mean, that was 4 or 5 years ago. I don't even know.
Right. Well, he's still in the AR. He's still recovering. But
good.
What we really had you on for, and I wish we had more time, and that's once again due to my unfortunate Zoom situation and
my unfortunate computer situation today.
But we're talking about the big, now people were making fun of the hurricane and how it didn't affect most people. It's just a really rainy day, but it affected your mother.
It did, yeah. My mother was living in Angeles Oaks, just above Angeles Oaks, actually. The community was called Seven Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, they're right against the river, which overflowed and completely took out her house. Mm. Yeah, she lost her entire house. She and a couple of neighbors lost their entire house. One of her neighbors, unfortunately, was lost in the flood. They have not found her house. They have not found her body. And unfortunately, she was a very close friend of my mother's. And, you know, my mom, there are pictures online, you know, from like the GoFundMe and everything. There are pictures that, like, you know, she lost everything. It was horrifying because I was at work when it happened, and I got a call from my sister, and my sister never calls me like after 8 o'clock at night.
Mm.
It's like 10:45. I get a call from my sister, and I'm just like, hey, to one of my managers. I'm like, hey, I have to take this. Mm-hmm. Something is wrong. So I step into the back. I take the call, and she first things out of her mouth are just, mom's okay. But, and I'm like, mom's okay, but what? And she's like, the house is gone. And I'm just like, fuck, what? Like, this is the absolute last thing that I expected to happen. I mean, my mom lived through hurricanes in Louisiana. Right. You know, she has lived through wildfires and had nothing happen. Like, the fires, you know, last time there was fires in, like, the Santa Paula area, and she was living out there, like, the fires literally went up, like, next to her doorstep, and nothing ever happened.
Mm.
Like, of all the times for, I guess, her luck to run out. But at the same time, it didn't, because she's still alive.
That's the main thing. Did she have flood insurance?
Unfortunately, up there, they didn't do flood insurance. The only thing that really happened out there was wildfires up until, you know, a few months ago.
Because homeowners insurance typically doesn't cover that. So
no, it really doesn't. And, you know, my mom, you know, it's been kind of irritating for me, like, all these people just like, some hurricane. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. Please stop.
Right. You're just, right. No, it was silly. I mean, it's good that not as many, you know, not a lot of people were affected, but it's horrible for the ones that were. So you're doing a benefit. You're coming back to LA, and we're doing a benefit.
We are. It's going to be so much fun. I've got performers. I've got raffle items. I have my mom.
I can't wait to meet your mom. Now, who's performing?
So you are performing, obviously.
That would be enough for anybody, but who else is going to be performing?
Yeah, both of us are going to be performing. And I've got Crystal Curio. She's performing. And have you met Crystal?
Crystal Kira?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had her on the show a few weeks ago.
Oh, nice. I love her. She is one of my best friends. I have known her literally the first time I ever performed for an audience. I met Crystal at that performance, and we've been friends ever since. So it's been a decade now that we've been. God, it's been a decade. Jesus.
It's a small world because I just met her, and I don't know how I missed her. But
She's incredible, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she is coming. I'm waiting to hear back from Scarlet Checkers.
Oh, I know Scarlet, yeah.
Scarlet's fantastic. She's another one. You know, when me, Scarlet, and Crystal get together, we call ourselves the Dream Team, and we have way too much fun.
Well, this is going to be a great time. This is going to be at the Clubhouse in Los Feliz, if you're listening to this, before December 9th?
Yes, December 9th.
December 9th. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And the Clubhouse is a great venue. It's in Los Feliz. And what are we going to be raffling?
Oh, man, we've got all kinds of stuff to raffle. Vixen DeVille has graciously donated a couple of little boxes of her Vixen burlesque kit. We've got booze. We've got tickets to Ripley's Believe It or Not. We've got gift certificates to different stores. We have, oh, God, I can't even think of all the stuff that we have to raffle off, you know?
Well, it's going to be a great time, and we're going to raise as much money as we can for your mom, and it's $20 donation gets you in the raffle, but you can donate more.
Exactly. You know, my mom might get up and talk about, you know, what happened. She's considering it, and I'm like, okay, all right, you do what you're comfortable with, but you know, just know we're here to support you.
Right. And we definitely are. Thank you, Dakota. Thank you, Hannah. I'm glad we got this reunion. I wish we had more time. And I wish I could see either one of you, but you're, for some reason you have gone incognito. So it's just me staring at my face and my horrible hairdo. So
Mark, come on.
You seem a little nervous this week. What's going on?
A little nervous? Yeah. Oh, I'm excited.
You're usually so excited. Yeah.
Like, no, we got some cool guests on tonight. So.
Well, you just gave a longing look, so that's part of the reason why you're nervous. Somebody, it's a Hannah's choice and a Mark's choice because somebody you've been lobbying for months.
Yeah.
To get this guy on the show, I'm like, you know, so many rock stars, you know, so many famous people, and yet you've been like, let's get a comedian on the podcast. I'm like, wow, that's never been done. Let's do that. But this guy, I can see why, because he's got the long hair, heavy metal look that you like.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I don't know what the deal is with YouTube, but we'll find out. That's Brandon Brocato.
Nice.
Brandon Brocato.
How's it going, everybody?
Of the White Trash Comedy Tour
of
with our friend Liam B.
White Trash Comedy Tour. That's right.
And other things. Venice Beach.
Other things. I host a show in Venice. I've been doing comedy for a couple years now. Mainly Ryan. I got a bunch of projects going on. We can talk about that later.
We'll talk about all sorts of things later. And
that's fine.
My choice, my friend. I saw you a couple months ago at Lenora Claire's.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sad and Bougie Sunday brunch.
Goth hip hop brunch. Yeah, it's the best. I love it. It's so much fun.
And I hadn't seen you in a while. I think I ran into you at CIA at some point, but
I think we performed together at CIA.
I know we have.
I think that we performed. Did you do something with Tuesday?
I did.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think we were on the same show.
Yeah, I think we were on the same show. Yeah.
And now Tuesday and I have beef, but that's on her side, not mine. But
I mean, she hasn't talked to me in like ages. The last time she hit me up was last Halloween, and it was because someone had fallen out of her show that she was doing in like Long Beach. And she called me like last minute going, hey, can you come perform? And I was like, dude, I just got out of a gig at DC Comics and I'm on my way to another gig. And like, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to drive all the way out to Long Beach for $10.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not happening.
You actually have paid gigs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Dakota, the bearded lady, that's talking. And I like Tuesday Thomas. She has beef with me. I don't have beef with her.
I love Tuesday. I wish that she would still hire me. But at the same time, I can't afford to work for her anymore. Just because I get actual paying gigs now. And the last time I performed for her, she literally waited until the very end of the show, when everybody was clearing out. Like, we were the last two people because I'm not leaving a show until I get paid.
Yeah. And by the way, that's why I didn't book you on my show, because she's got a bigger budget. I was going to give you a fiver, but that's just one of those things.
But so she goes and she slips her hand into mine and walks away. And I look and she literally handed me 3 fives. And I was just like, all right, I'm never doing this show again.
Wow. I thought she was gonna like give you a little vial of Coke or something. That was. Anyway, before we get started, and by the way, we've been talking outside for a while, and the chemistry is great. This is gonna be. I who's got the best beard before we get started of the three of us?
I would have Dakota. Dakota's coming in nice.
Dakota's number one. You're number two. This is a little scrappy, so you trim it, and you got you got a whole thing. Like you trimmed it up too.
Yeah, I did. I'm actually jealous of your beard.
Thank you. It
comes in fuller than mine. Like mine just grows down like this, like one of those snakes on the 4th of July, one of those like terrible fireworks.
Like the guy from Anthrax.
No. I wish it was that cool. No, it literally just grows like this, like a giant chia pet, and then I have this Johnny Depp mustache. You know what I'm saying?
Like, mine never comes in the cheeks. It curls down. It's all things.
I get one way to wear it.
Sorry. I work really hard on keeping my beard looking good. I shave my sideburns because my sideburns go all the way up to my cheekbones, but I've got like
Wolverine style.
Yeah, nice. But like I've got I've got like Cher cheekbones, and I want to like show it off, you know? Yeah. I'm like I got these awesome cheekbones, and like
you do.
And thank you. And so I like to show off my cheekbones and to just like, you know, make sure to highlight like as much as possible. Like I pack on the highlight and everything, and you know, I've got hair up here, and I'm just like, no, get out of the way, like move. Nobody asked for this.
Yeah, I was gonna say outside. I'm so jealous. Your highlighter's on point. You can't really see it in this light, but yeah, it looks great out there.
Thank you.
Anyway, before we get started, we've already got started, but got a couple sponsors real quick. Audible, you guys are on the road all the time, listen to audiobooks. Yeah. audibletrial.com/DMS. I'm looking at the camera right now, so if you're listening on audio, I'm just pointing at you. Do you want a free audiobook? Go to audibletrial.com/DMS, whatever you want. There's a book you've been meaning to listen to or read. It's on there. Whatever you like. You like Stephen King books. Tiffany Haddish came out with an autobiography, if you like that. I know they got a couple great books on the Sideshow.
Yeah.
David Spade just came out with an autobiography.
Yeah.
Bob Newhart has a show on Audible. Now they're getting into the show business.
Oh. Yeah, that's
Bob Newhart, who's 92, if I'm not mistaken.
Good for him.
Interviews some young, fresh talent, like Will Ferrell, Sarah Silverman, Judd Apatow.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Young, fresh.
Yeah. Well, compared to him, so I love Bob Newhart, and I was listening to that when I went to Vegas, and it's a really good show. So
I'm obsessed with Audible.
Yeah, so go to audibletrial.com/DMS. Free 30-day trial, free book. If you don't like the book, if you're disappointed with the book, or whatever you get. They have Keith Richards' book. Johnny Depp narrates it as Keith Richards. Whatever you like. But that was a big hit a couple years ago. Now, not so much. But if you don't like the book, you can exchange it for another book.
Yeah.
And if you cancel the next day, you keep whatever book you like. Mm-hmm. So audibletrial.com/DMS. Also, do you want to do it?
Doomy's Home Cooking.
We have Doomy's Home Cooking as a sponsor. 1253 Vine Street, mm-hmm. Hollywood, California. If you're in Hollywood, tell them what you can eat. You gotta go there.
I mean, they have the Nex-Mex, which is their Mexican food. And then you can go next door and you can have burgers and your fake pork.
Have you been to Doomy's Home Cooking?
I haven't, but I like really want to.
It's the best vegan food you've ever had. I took my parents there.
Yeah.
I had, listen to this, shrimp po' boy.
Dude.
Vegan.
Dude.
100% vegan. Delicious. Wait, I'll show you the picture. When we went there about a month ago, you had bacon cheese fries, a Big Mac. This is all vegan.
Yeah,
We went to the Mexican restaurant. I've never seen flautas this big. Huge chicken flautas. Amazing.
Dude.
And you can, if you don't know what you want, if your friends want burgers or po' boys and you want Mexican, you can take food from one restaurant to the other, right next door to each other.
So, wait, everything's made out of vegans there, right?
It's a vegan restaurant? It's all vegan.
See, I had vegan nuggets one time, and they were kind of good, and then I found out that they weren't actually made out of vegans, and that was really
They're not made out of vegans.
That just reminds me of the Adams Family movie.
Yeah. Do you remember the Adams Family movie?
Yes.
Where the little girl comes up and she's just like, "Buy my Girl Scout cookies," is your lemonade made out of real lemons? And and Wednesday goes, "Are the cookies made out of real Girl Scouts?
You slipped that one right by us, Brandon. But no, they got Philly cheesesteaks. They got pulled pork sandwiches. 1253 Vine Street. They're gonna they got a new restaurant going in Culver City, not so far from you. Mm-hmm. If you're in Toronto,
They have a Do Me Some Cooking there.
I'm going to be in Toronto in January.
Go to Do Me Some Cooking?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and the friends that I'm staying with are vegetarian, so I'm sure they're going to love that.
They'll love it. They'll love it. Anyway.
That's exciting.
So Dakota, the bearded lady.
Yes.
I wasn't expecting the beard to be all trimmed and the sideburns, the whole thing. Yeah. Last time I saw you, I think it was all a full, like, Amish thing.
Yeah. The first couple of years that I was growing it out, I didn't really understand, like, beard maintenance. And then I got, like, connected with the Gentlemen's Social Club of Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're really awesome guys. They put on a beard competition every August.
And you were part of that.
I am. I have competed 3 times so far. I've placed once, not this past year, but 2017, I placed 2nd in the partial beard category,
which
was awesome. The theme was 80s. It was really cool. They had
So what's an 80s beard that you did?
I just sprayed a crap ton of glitter in it. That I dressed like Cyndi Lauper. It was like so much fun. I had like all the crazy jewelry, and I like did like my hair like all big and like put like purple spray in it and stuff. It was a lot of fun.
I'm trying to think who in the some ZZ Top guy one or. So I'm like an 80s beard.
So there's different categories in the competitions, and I compete in partial because I shave my sideburns.
Right.
So the guy who won in partial that year has a beard that literally like touches the floor, but he like puts all these rubber bands in it,
and
it looks like a whip. It's like it's intense.
Yeah.
And he like wraps it around his body and stuff. Yeah. And I'm just like, how do you even like live like that? Like, oh my God, if mine touches my boobs, I trim it because I can't handle it.
I know how he lives like that. He's whipping somebody with that beard.
Well, then you'd think he'd be a little bit more relaxed when he's backstage at a beard competition.
Oh, really? Was he nervous about it around you?
Yeah, he got kind of weird around me. He was like, oh, well, I just don't understand how like a woman could be competing in this category and blah, blah, blah. And I was
Dude,
just like,
fuck
I'm
you,
sorry.
Bro. Women are taking over the world.
Yeah. I know, right? Yeah. One beard at a time.
Yeah. He's like, the one thing we had was beard competitions, and now the women are taking it
away
from us.
He lost to a friend of mine 2 years before, my friend Corey. She's up in, they are up in Oakland, I think.
Is Corey a bearded lady too? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he was like saying, going, I just don't understand. And I was like, well, I'm sorry that your masculinity is so fragile that you can't handle the fact that I can grow a beard as good as, if not better than some of the guys here. And he was just like, well, guys have feelings too. And I was just like, yes. And we've been hearing about it for a millennia.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry.
He needs to enter a vagina contest.
Maybe.
Best vagina.
I mean, but I would beat him in that too. So.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm sure his clit is huge.
Yeah. So you, when did you, was it like when you hit puberty that you started growing?
Because
I heard horror stories. I read horror stories about you online.
You read horror stories about me?
About waxing your beard.
God, it was rough. It was so rough. I waxed for like.
And your stepfather made you do that?
Yeah.
Why didn't he shave?
I did. After a while, I started shaving. But he had talked to his friend who was a hairdresser who told him that if you wax hair, it'll grow back thinner, which is a flat-out lie.
Yeah.
That it's just another myth perpetuated by the beauty industry. And so, like, there's this toxic thinking that, like, hair is inherently bad, which didn't even become a thing until, like, the 1920s, I want to say. And, I mean, people didn't even wear deodorant until the 1920s. So, like, you know, everybody was just all hairy and smelly and just, like, walking around doing their thing. But, like, imagine, like, those flappers. Like, you know, those, like, little flapper dresses. They had, like, arm hair and stuff, you know. And so he listened to his friend, and he believed that, and took me to her and had her wax off my beard because a friend of his said to him, he went, hey, what's going on with your kid? She's got about as much facial hair as I did in high school. And that stressed him out. And, like, he took me to this woman and had her wax off my beard. And, like, I just, like, went down this, like, shame spiral of,
women don't
grow facial hair. And, like, it made me feel so bad.
That's horrible.
Like, as a teenager, you know, like, I was already the fat girl. I was already the girl who, like, chopped off all of her hair because I was just, like, fuck. Like everything, sorry. Can I swear?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. Cool.
We encourage profanity.
We do.
Okay. Cool.
People
like
profanity.
I just wasn't sure because you know I've done like reality TV and stuff, and if I say fuck, then they're just like, all right, well, we have to do that entire thing over because it has to be real, but you really can't swear, and I'm just like, ah.
So fucking swear. So go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So I was just, you know, I was like the kid who like chopped off all of her hair and was just like, fuck everything. Like, I'm going to just like do whatever I want to do. And
so wait a second. So you chopped off all your hair and you had a beard?
No,
you look like a strong man or something?
I mean, I wasn't allowed to look like, I wasn't allowed to look like that because I had to wax my face every month. Yeah,
that's every month.
I would go and I would wax my face once a month.
This is fucking horrible. Yeah. All over a fucking small joke that somebody said.
Yeah.
And his insecurities projected on you.
Yep.
I
mean, we're good now. I'm sure. He's super supportive now because I sat down with him when I started growing it out and I said to him, I was like, hey, look, like, I reconnected with a friend of mine who's in Sideshow, and I've decided that I want to grow out my beard, and I want to be the bearded lady, and I want to join the Sideshow. And he was just like, well, I just don't know how I'm going to feel about you having a beard. And I go, well, you know what? At this point in my life, I don't really have to take into consideration how you feel. Like,
yeah, how old were you at this time?
I was 23.
Okay.
All right. You're still a baby.
23, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, look, at this point in my life, I don't have to take into consideration like that. I want to do this. And it's not about your feelings. It's about my feelings. This is nothing against you, but this is how I want to be. And it's my life. I want to join the Sideshow. I want to be the bearded lady. I want to make a fucking difference. And he was just like, okay. And it took him a little while to like get used to it and everything. But then like he bought me this really cool sign. Like my siblings both did 4-H, my younger siblings. And so at fair, they have like that. He always
wait. 4-H is like cow stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
My siblings raised pigs, lambs, and goats.
Okay.
And then they sold them for slaughter.
I was raised in Los Angeles. I just eat those.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hannah just made her face.
I know. Sorry.
But I knew this was coming.
He got me this cool sign that says "Don't fuck with the bearded lady." He had it like specially
made
for me,
cool.
And that's like hanging.
That's awesome.
In my room. Yeah,
and your siblings, none of them have, I mean,
No. It's not a genetic thing. I actually don't have an official diagnosis. Basically, as close as we ever got was that my adrenal glands are messed up. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had a really bad joke on the tip of my tongue or something about the carpets matching the drapes, but we're going to save that. Because Hannah, you've been after me to have Brandon on for weeks.
I have.
Tell me why.
He's funny. You know, I never. No, he really is. Like I.
How did you guys meet?
Tinder.
Really?
Totally met on Tinder.
Was a Tinder guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're always like, I can't meet anybody on
Tinder. Yeah, but it's the first time we've met. We've just been corresponding.
Oh, wait a second.
I've been taking my time. I'm a gentleman like that, you know?
Hannah, you got to tell me.
2018. We hold out on sex now, too.
Okay. When did you guys match on Tinder?
I mean, but
we matched on Tinder, what, 3-4 months ago?
Yeah, about that. We've been like corresponding for a minute. We were supposed to get trashed last week, but shit happens, you know? It's all good.
Yeah.
I still got trashed.
Yeah.
So when you guys met in the street outside, that was the first time you actually personally met?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
No, but you are her type. Absolutely.
Yeah, no. I know. Well, I'm everybody's type. You know,
you're not my type.
You know who loves me is mothers, dude. Mothers absolutely love me. Yeah. And if you guys are watching this, you can take a good look at me. I am a total scumbag.
I think that pours out of the audience.
Absolutely. I mean, this is just a visual.
If I said that, I'm like, I'm a scumbag. Nobody believes it. You.
I'm a fucking scumbag. It's okay. But
I got that whiskey gargled voice. I'm a fucking scumbag.
Opposite of a germaphobe. I'm a fucking scumbag. Okay. And, you know, the voice, my mom's really worried about the voice. She's like, Brandon, you should see a doctor. And I'm like, why would I see a doctor?
Dude,
mom?
I am so envious of your voice. I wish I had your voice. That voice is so good for comedy. Are you
sure? Shit cost me 2 million Marlboro miles, bro.
That's great for radio. It's great for comedy. It's great for all of it. Voiceover work.
I'm starting to learn that. But, you know, I'm putting in the time, man. Right now, I have a cartoon show, so I do voiceover for the cartoon show. But then, like with comedy, it took me a long time to come around to my voice. I really hated my voice when I was a kid.
What's a cartoon character?
It's Lush. He's a drunken lawn gnome that lives in a trailer park.
Typecasting.
Yeah. Hey, bro. I'll typecast myself. Yeah. It means I got a fucking paycheck. You know what I'm saying?
I'm Lush.
I'll sell out. That's the whole fucking point of the term, selling out. You sell out. Right. Make some fucking money. Yeah.
So I'm going to try to hook this up now that I know that this is the deal. But I know Hannah's so nervous about what I'm going to say next. But how metal are you?
Not very metal at all.
That might be a strike.
No, we hate Metallica.
I hate Metallica too.
Okay.
No, wait a second. But is this recent Metallica or like
No, hold on. I take a stance to Metallica the same way I take a stance to the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
When I meet a deadhead, they're like, "You like the Dead, bro?" And don't get me wrong, I sold acid in high school and love acid. Acid is my favorite drug in the world. I fucking hate the Dead. If somebody tells me, "Do you like the Dead?" I always go, "I like that song, Touch of Grey." And then I watch their fucking heads explode.
That's the pop song.
I know. I do the same thing to Metallica fans. I'm always like, "Yeah, Enter Sandman, bro," and like they fucking lose their brain.
Nothing else matters. Dude, it rocks.
Yeah. Dude, look, man. Yes, I do like metal, man. But I like an earlier form of metal. Okay, I was like super into like Leonard Skinner. And I was into Black Sabbath.
All right,
I was. I was. But then again, bro, I've been seduced by bands like Steely Dan, dude, Steely and Dan's Hall and Oates. Sure. Okay. I got a friend to this day. This day, my boy Todd gives me shit every time. He's always like, "What do you want to listen to?" Hall & Oates. Every time. And I'm like, fuck you, bro. Okay.
But the thing about the Grateful Dead, I remember when I was, I would see the album covers, and the album covers are cool.
Yeah.
They're like Iron Maiden album covers, dude. Like that kind of shit. And then you listen to it, it's like, it's bad country.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. And then I've never seen it live. God. Thank God.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sure everybody tripping on acid in the fucking field with naked bitches around that are like, just like gang rape me. You know, whatever they do at fucking, and you know, I'm sure you don't do that at Deadhead shows. I'm just teasing you motherfuckers, okay? Jesus Christ, take a tab and chill the fuck out. Fucking, no, but like, I never got into it. I never went to a show, you know, like I went to Burning Man once. That shit was cool.
Yeah.
You know, but I used to go to like raves in the 90s back when like Ecstasy were double stacked Mitsus and you fucking hid them in your extra phone battery.
So you had the JNCO jeans and shit like that?
Oh, fuck dude. I was deep in the 90s.
Now,
bro.
Is it true that did I read that you were you're on the show House?
I was.
As a rave bouncer?
Yeah, dude, I really was. Actually, that's so funny. I was typecasting my first fucking goddamn thing.
How'd you get that?
They
saw you at the rave or what?
All right. Side note.
Let me get the techno music.
All right, side note. So when I was like 19 years old, okay, I was working at Johnny Rockets on the 3rd Street Promenade. I grew up in Santa Monica, okay?
Right.
My family's originally from the Valley, but I like, you know, I was like Gabriel Contreras from the original 90210. Like I was bussed in from Pacoima.
How long is that bus ride?
I wasn't bussed in. My parents drove me at like 5:30 in the morning. I actually listened to Howard Stern every morning on the way to school. And it was like the best memories of my childhood, to tell you the truth.
That explains a lot.
I remember the day when Howard Stern saved that man from the Washington Street Bridge. When he was like, the guy called him, Howard's like, "I'm going to fucking jump." And Howard was like, "Chill out, bro." Yeah. And talked to him for like 7 hours.
Yeah.
Talked this dude off. Dude, it's a fucking incredible episode. Cool, I was like 12 years old. Maybe 14. I don't know. I suck at math. But still, like, I remember, like, doing it. And it was so funny because the next day he was so full of himself over it. It was so fucking funny. He was like, "Hey, Robin, you know that song Bette Miller did, Bugging the Wind Beneath My Wings?" Mm-hmm. She wrote that about me.
That's funny.
It was pretty fucking funny. I thought it was hilarious. I mean, I was 12 years old, you know. Howard was a man. And whatever. I'm digressing here.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Santa Monica, what was I talking about?
We were getting to how you got on the TV show House.
Okay, all right. So I was living in Santa Monica. I was out of high school. I hadn't joined the army because Bush had just become president, and I was like, "Fuck that."
Yeah.
And which I really regret. I should have done that. Okay, but still.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like 6,000 people died in both Iraqi wars. You know how many people die every day in America? 6,000. No. America kills the same amount of people that were killed in those American soldiers. Either way, you get an education out of it. You get like, I just would have liked to have that bargaining chip too in comedy. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I can't talk about the military because I never served. But I definitely have viewpoints on it. And I wish I had tortured myself for a couple of years and gotten all the positive stuff that comes along with it just so I could talk shit back. But I know my place. I never served. You know?
Okay, so if you served,
but don't get me wrong.
Fuck the military.
Well, no. Fuck restaurants. I served in restaurants, okay? Which is the lowliest of all things. At least you got to roll around in tanks and shoot people. I had to take people's shit.
You think Johnny Rockets is bad?
Oh, dude.
When I was in college, I worked at Denny's.
Oh. That's the worst.
That is the worst. That is the worst. I'm sorry. I've never done that. Johnny Rockets was bad when I was 19. But back to my story. So I was 19 years old.
Yeah.
And this chick comes in. She had curly blonde hair, and I'm like, and she was a to-go order, which is like free for anybody to grab.
Yeah.
So I rolled up to her, and I had a buddy who who was like, yeah, I moved from here to San Diego to be an actor, and I was like, you can't just be an actor, bro. You got to be like drama class and shit like that. And he was like, no. You can just be an actor. And that got me thinking. So I was like in college at the time. I was up at Smuck. I was doing my 13th and 14th grade. And I started taking some acting classes. And they were fun. You know, just like the improv class we had to walk through to get here.
Right.
Except
yours was fun.
That was actually fun.
I'm kidding.
She was actually doing a really good job. Yeah. And on top of it, they were getting better each time. And like, really,
they were giving them good advice.
They were discovering things. And that's what improv's all about, you know. So, okay, back to the whole thing. So I was an actor. Okay. So basically, Jen Houston was this chick with blonde hair. She came into the thing. I hit on her. She was like, you're fucking cute. Are you an actor? I had done two classes at MSMC. I had no headshots, photos, nothing of me. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'm an actor, you know? She got my information, hit me up the next day. She brought me in. She was actually the casting director for Martin Scorsese's The Aviator.
Wow.
And I auditioned for 2 one-line parts. I still remember the lines to this day.
In The Aviator?
One was, well, there goes our meal ticket. The other was, welcome to the Flight Academy. That's what I had to do. It was that fucking easy. I'd never done an audition in my life. I skateboarded to the audition in 96-degree heat, okay? In a pair of Adidas, like, tearaway black, like, old 90s style, and a fucking, like, tight ass shirt that said Sublime LBC. Like, dude, I could not have been.
Nothing says Howard Hughes. Like a Sublime shirt and sweatpants.
I had no fucking clue. I go in that audition, my legs are fucking shaking. I'm like scared shitless. I've never done anything like this before in my entire life. She kept that tape. I heard nothing from them for 7 months. She kept that tape, went back to New York. She had a friend named Christy Thomas who was coming to LA to be a manager. And she literally like handed the tape off and was like, find this kid. Here's his number. Find this kid. She came to LA. She like called me up one day. I was fucking broke as a joke. I pulled a full on Scarface at Johnny Rockets. I was like, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you. I'm out. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And like I was dying. They brought me to their office. I kind of just told them my life story, and we smoked a bunch of pot together, and they like signed me on the spot, and
it's like A Star Is Born.
Pretty much. Except my voice is way better than Lady Gaga's. I know that's a bold statement. I do that on podcasts.
So then they're like
trying to create controversy, you know?
So then they saw the sweatpants and they said he's the door guy at the rave.
I
didn't know House went to a rave.
So that was just how I became an actor.
Okay.
I actually went in and auditioned for that. I nailed that fucking audition to the wall, dude. Nice. I went in there and fucking just boom, hit it. I even remember like walking out, like I was just like, that's how you do it, motherfucker.
How method did you get though? Were you on ecstasy or what?
No. Actually the lines were completely different for what I was doing. I got brand new lines. I didn't even know I was the door guy. I just did like another audition. I don't even remember what it was.
Oh, okay.
I really don't. That's how it works in the industry. Like you audition, though, yeah. You go in and you nail the audition and they're like, all right, check it out. I know you worked really hard on those like 7 lines. But here's 7 more. You got 20 minutes. Let's make it happen. You're a professional. You make do. You know, you got the crew going for a certain amount of time. They're going to shoot you in that time. You make it happen. And what comes out, comes out.
Well, Dakota knows all about that.
Oh, yeah. No, I did an art film a couple of years ago. And they told me that I was going to get 3 pages of lines. And it was all going to be in one take. It was like this whole monologue that I had to learn, and it was intense.
Monologues are rough.
So like I'm like practicing this thing like crazy. I'm like trying to like read all of this, and like, you know, the director's telling me, he's like, oh, like I want it to be like really like psychological. I want to get into like philosophy, like look up philosophy stuff. And I was
he wanted you to write it and perform it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
oh, that's bullshit.
No,
they call it art film, you know.
Yeah. So basically I get all these lines, and then I I'm like learning about all this philosophy and stuff. I'm like, I bought a thing on Audible. It was like all this like just random like philosophy. And I would just like listen to that every night and like learn these lines. And I get there and he's just like, oh yeah, so we're just going to like cut like most of it. Just keep like these two parts and then say whatever else you want. Well, and I was just like,
wow. Yeah, that's okay.
Was this a mumblecore film? Or what was it?
It was GX Jupiter Larson. He does like art films. And it's just about to come out on DVD, I think. I just got a text from him a few days ago, just like, hey, what's your address? I'm gonna send you a DVD.
Well, that's great.
And I was just like, oh, awesome, cool.
Now that nobody has a DVD player anymore, everybody streams movies.
Seriously,
I mean, hell, I stream everything.
Yeah, so why don't you send me a VHS? That'd be better. Right? Yeah.
Why don't you just download it to Cody and then I'll watch it.
Put it on vinyl. Everybody's going for that now. So you were you worked at the Venice Beach freak show.
Yeah, I did.
Because your friend who encouraged you to grow your beard.
Yeah.
She was this
fire eater.
Fire eater. Okay. Yeah.
Her name is Sunshine English, and when Todd's daughter decided to step away for a little while, Sunshine took over, and she convinced me to join the freak show. She convinced me to grow out my beard, and then I slowly like incepted my way in and like started going there just to hang out, and like, you know, they saw like the progress of like my beard growing, and finally Todd was like, you know,
was it like the stubble, and they're like wait a couple months?
No, it was like the first time I went, I had shaved the day before, but I didn't shave it all that day.
So this was this is the beginning of the embracing.
Yes. Yeah, this is the beginning of the embracing. Okay. Yeah.
Dakota the Peach Fuzz Girl.
Honey, I haven't been Dakota the Peach Fuzz Girl since I was 13.
Oh wow. I noticed you don't have a mustache.
It kind of grows a little bit on the ends, and it's slowly starting to like fill in.
Kind of
and
a snarly sort of like, whiplash. Sort
yeah,
of thing,
yeah, I'm just sort of letting it let it do its own thing. I'm like, girl, you do you. I'm just gonna like support you.
Have you shaved the upper lip? Do you usually do that or not?
No, I don't. I don't shave the upper lip at all. I trim it, but I don't shave it.
Yeah.
I just sort of let it do its own thing, and it's slowly starting to like creep up towards the middle and like turn into a real mustache. So I'm just sort of like, all right, you know, take your time. It's fine. Just do whatever you want, sweetie. You're doing great.
Right.
Like, you don't know, Kris Jenner on my mustache. Just, you're doing great, sweetie. You're doing great. I went to the freak show, and I met Todd, and I met all of them, and I worked there for about 8 months, and it just got to be, like, a really toxic working environment, so I quit.
Really?
Yeah, it was really toxic working there, and it was
I hear the elephants don't like it in the circus either, so I understand.
Well, I'm not even going to get into that now, because that is, like,
Hannah,
a whole other
conversation. Hannah, do you want to take that one about the elephants?
Yeah, I don't think we
I don't think we do. I'm not even going to get into that. But yeah, working for Todd was just like not great. And
but it was a start, and
It was encouragement.
And now you're modeling. You were just in New York at the Fashion Week.
That's awesome. Yeah, I did. I did Ashton Michaels' 2018 Spring Fashion Show.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
How did that happen?
I'm signed with a modeling agency.
Okay.
It's called Zandwagon. They're out of New York. And, you know, they haven't really been reaching out to me much, which kind of sucks because, like, I'm under contract. So, like, utilize me. You know, like, I'm the fucking bearded lady. Like, fucking utilize me. Mm-hmm. But they called me and they were like, hey, look, like, Ashton Michael, like, wants to, like, talk to you. And he wants to, like, look at your stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, okay, sure. And so then, like, we started talking about it. And then they were like, all right, so basically they want you to come out and do Fashion Week. And I was just like, okay. So I met him at his LA store. And he took all my measurements and everything. And we talked for a little while. He showed me video from his last walk, his last Fashion Week, his last show.
Right.
I'm like, I can't word. His last show. He showed me stuff from his last show. And he was just like, you know, it's going to be a continuation of this. And, like, what colors are you into? Like, from, like, this palette. And, like, what are you, you know, like, what are you into? And we started talking for a while.
And hanging out with you as much as I have. It's basically black on black on black.
I have the same palette because I'm colorblind. I really like color though. Like, I do. I just don't buy a lot of it because, like, a lot of plus size stuff doesn't come in, like, color. Like, it's like the fashion industry just wants us to wear black and, like, look thin and, like, hide ourselves in the corners and, like, not exist. But, like, the fact of the matter is, like, the majority of people in America are plus sized. And, you know, so it's just like a whole thing. But he actually made this amazing dress for me, and it's got like leather and like it's got like hoops on it, and I got to keep the dress
that I made.
So what was the reaction when you went down the runway?
So we didn't end up doing a runway show. We did, so what we did was we were like hiding in these like little styrofoam rooms. Like literally they had these like styrofoam walls like set up on either side of the stage, and they like set the stage and it was really pretty. And like they told us where to go, and then like we would like pose and, you know, let people take pictures of us and everything. And then we would go and like sit down, and like that was how we ended up doing it. And I like, I mean, you've seen me when I'm performing, and like I get into like management mode really hard. Like I'm just like, okay, you're up next, and then you're up next, and then you, and then me, and then you, and don't forget your cue, and don't forget just where to stand, and like, you know,
she's not kidding, I've seen this.
Great though, that's great.
I do I'm like total mom friend. So the reaction was pretty interesting. People kind of went crazy, and I loved it. It was great. I mean, but I've got like a crazy ego, so I'm just like, yes, worship me.
Yes.
Yes.
Finally, the world knows what I've known all along.
Exactly. Exactly. And then come to find out, I'm actually the first bearded lady to ever do Fashion Week.
Fucking A.
So nice. I'm gonna be writing to Guinness and being like, hey, where's my plaque?
Yeah.
and hopefully not the last. And
yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Be there. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I and part of the reason I brought that up because I thought it was a great story.
Yeah.
Is this guy's done some modeling.
Oh, wow.
From what I understand.
Oh, yeah, he did. I've seen the photos.
Do tell, Hannah.
Very handsome.
Yeah?
But he's like, he was like a Tiger Beat looking.
I have worked very hard to work against that.
Is this like the house years?
This was actually just after the house years. So when I started acting like out the gate, I booked this like Chevy commercial that was directed by Michael Bay.
I'm up for a Chevy commercial right now.
Yeah, those are fucking great with Dustin.
All I know is I've auditioned for it and they've sent me in and submitted me for it and everything. I'm just waiting to hear from him right now.
I'm gonna text my boy Dustin. He does all the Chevy stuff. All right, sorry, yeah. Dustin. Awesome. I'm gonna hit you up.
Yeah.
but he wasn't even the guy who booked me for this. This was like 2006, like way back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. In junior high.
Yeah, I'm in the commercial for like a fucking second. I'm literally in the back seat of a car in like in Elvis shades, and I'm like, oh, and I look at this car. It's so lame. And this was like
it's so lame I paid your rent for a year and a half.
Dude, no joke. It was 2006. That was before everything went like digital. Yeah. Like when I started acting, couriers would bring your sides to you. Everything. They didn't even email you shit.
Wow.
Like, dude, it was, you know, this is pre-internet taking over. Like people were still like, computers, I don't like them things, you know? It wasn't anywhere close to it.
Still like that.
Well, it was. So do I. But like, not like, okay, so whatever. I out the gate, I kind of like did really well for myself. And then I started like that commercial gig pays. Theatrical gigs only pay you like $800 a day when you're SAG. So you get like that. So I was on House where I shot one day.
Yeah.
I got paid like $900 for that one day.
Nice.
That fucking Chevy commercial, mm-hmm. I made like $80,000 off of.
What?
No joke. I was like 23 years old. I was so dumb. I was at Ledoux buying bottles. I was like, I'm rich. You know, like, you know, I was so dumb. Literally, my agents were like, fuck it. This is just the start, baby. Like, go to town. Yeah. Till the fucking tax man came around and I owed $10,000. Mm-hmm. But still, like that was like dope, like right off the bat. But then like theatrical stuff, I didn't really like nail anything. Commercial stuff, I wasn't really nailing. I was nailing the theatrical stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was hurting. Like, I mean, that $80,000 was dope, but I was also like couch surfing at the time in Echo Park. Like, right. Paying nothing for rent. Like, I was balling, but like, I didn't even buy a new car. I had $80,000. I like $69,000.
You didn't even buy a Chevy.
I didn't buy a Chevy. Sorry, I'm more of a Ford man, but whatever. Michael Bay can eat my dick. Anyway,
oh, really? Any Michael Bay stories?
That dude, yeah, he's a douche, dude. Like,
is he really?
So
literally not.
All right. So at all, right? Okay. No. So I was basically an extra that was in a commercial. So like
a featured extra. Basically. Yeah.
But, and by the way, if you don't know, Michael Bay is the director of such classics as Armageddon,
yeah.
Bad Boys, Pearl Harbor, Transformers, one of the biggest directors in Hollywood. He's doing Chevy commercial.
Yeah, he loves fucking Ben Affleck's dick. Anyway,
yeah.
So
who doesn't?
I don't. Sorry. I didn't care for Gone Baby either.
No.
Yeah. At the end of Gone Baby, I was like, or Gone Girl. Yeah, well, yeah. Oh my God. The end of that fucking movie, I was like, killer. Killer. Like, I was like, you just dragged me through fucking 40 minutes of thinking you're gonna kill her, and then you're just like, I'm a bitch.
Kill her with
your dick. I'm gonna just do what she says.
Kill her with your dick that everybody hates.
I haven't been that mad at a movie since Inception.
Yeah. Oh, that was horrible.
Dude, Inception was the worst, dude. Dude, and that's all Leo's fault. Well, it's not Leo's fault. He doesn't know any better. He's not a writer. He's an actor.
Yeah.
But basically, the movie was stuck in post for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And they couldn't figure out what the fuck to do with things. It was such a fucking jumble. And in the end, Leo just walked in and was like, it's all a dream. And like, literally, that's the biggest cop out when it comes to writing. If you write anything, like, if at any point you're like, oh, it was all a dream.
Looking at you, Roseanne.
So, you anyway, know what? So Michael Bay.
I have love for Roseanne. She
Dude, the whole end of that show was terrible.
Reboot was incredible. And then she like snorted a bunch of Xanax and had to be a fucking like Ambien. Racist on Ambien, whatever. Dude, my mother used to do Ambien, and I like literally, like my stepdad won't let her take it. He fucking literally one day, he came out to her. She had like woken up in the middle of the night and just had a frying pan with the heat full on and just like a spatula with nothing in the thing.
No.
He was like, all right, no more for you. No more. You don't get to do Ambien anymore.
I've done some fucked up shit on Ambien.
Yeah.
Oh, don't tell Hannah.
One night, like I tripped balls on an Ambien. When my girlfriend, she witnessed it. I ordered a bunch of sex toys from Amazon, like 20 of them. Next day, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Cancel.
And you also swipe right on this guy.
That's fucking hilarious.
Well, what have you done on Ambien?
Thank God.
Just mostly hallucinate. I think I like tried to make my dogs sleep in my room, which they don't like to sleep in my room. So I was just like, no, we need to have a cuddle party. And my dad's just like, no, leave the dogs alone. Just go to bed. Jesus Christ, you're fucked up. Just go to bed. And I'm just like, I just want someone to love me.
And what did Michael Bay do on Ambien?
Yeah.
I have no clue. All right. So back to Michael Bay. So
yeah.
So we get on set, right? Okay. Like, this was back the day before they had featured extras, before they figured out, like, they could just pay extras to sit there in the fucking thing. They were like, no, these are actual, like, actors. And that's what Michael Bay likes to do. He likes to spread the wealth, but he's an asshole.
Right.
So we get to set, and he's, like, literally the DP comes on. He's, like, this black British dude, and he's like, listen, okay? He might yell at you, okay? Don't take it personally. That's just the way he is. And we were just like, this is going to be fucking awesome. 5 people in that fucking car. I'm sitting bitch in the back seat, okay? With the long hair and the Elvis shades. My hair wasn't this long, though. I actually quit acting because I wanted to grow my hair out. But anyways, they wouldn't let me. But I was in the back seat, whatever. We shoot the whole thing. He's like, I'm thinking you in the middle with the Elvis shades. I want you to do one of these, like, just from, like, the end of the Breakfast Club. Like, I was like Bender, right?
He's like,
no problem. So I did 1,000 different, like, every single one for an hour.
Oh, God.
And in the end, he was like, yeah, I just don't think it's going to work. And I was like, you think, bro?
That is so Stanley Kubrick. It's insane.
Well, you know, they have to justify their fucking paychecks. If they're not being a super asshole, then they're not worth the money.
Yeah. Thanks. I can't lift my right arm anymore. Yeah. Thank you very much. Michael Bay.
My arm's fucking fine. I went home and fucking tugged one out. It was okay.
And Michael Bay, successful director.
Very successful.
Tommy Wiseau.
Oh boy.
My favorite director.
Oh, we're going there.
We're going there because I'm just trying to find out exactly.
Hold on. Tommy Wiseau's your favorite?
Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, from The Room.
What, I know who he is. I don't pronounce his name right. He couldn't pronounce my name right if he tried.
I love shitty movies. So I watch The Room religiously.
Yeah, I do too, but
that is the first movie that I watched this year. Like I did a show New Year's Eve in San Diego, like crashed on my friend's couch, woke up the next morning and she was just like, hey, you want to watch The Room? And I was just like, fuck yeah, let's watch The Room.
Have you seen it before?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'd met Tommy several times.
Okay. So this is the thing you were telling me outside.
Yeah.
So apparently Greg.
Okay. So Greg and I were like talking and like we started talking about, okay, so it was a couple months ago.
He was hitting on you as men do.
He kind of was. Mm-hmm. We were like just having a nice conversation. I had like run out of the theater. We were at the Egyptian. I had like run out of the theater, like run to go to the bathroom.
Oh, it was a room screening.
Yeah, it was a room screening. Okay. Yeah. And Greg actually showed up for that. And okay. I brought my copy of The Disaster Artist with me because I wanted him to sign it. Because
you're a fan.
Yeah. I've got The Disaster Artist and then I have The Disaster Artist on Audible because Greg reads it. And nice. It sounds like Greg is telling you a story.
And that's if you'd awesome. Like to get that audience, audibletrial.com/DMS, it's free.
You totally got it. So Greg is like kind of just standing along the side and Tommy's like off doing his thing over by his merch table. He's talking with his like guys that work for him and everything. And Greg looks up as I'm walking past and he goes, hey, how are you? And I was just like, good. How are you? And so I just like stop and we start chatting and we start talking about like modeling and stuff. I had just come back from New York. So I think this was like, I don't know, March, I want to say like sometime in March or something. Mm-hmm. So we're talking and Tommy looks over and he sees us like just chatting. We're just having a nice conversation. And Tommy goes, Greg, come over. Greg, we have to do live stream. Come over here. Greg is just like, yeah, I'll be right there. I'll be right there, Tommy. Like, don't worry about it. He's like, no, Greg, come on. We have to do live stream. We have to do live stream right now. The fan wants to see you, Greg. Let's go. Let's do live stream. And he's like, Tommy, I'll be right there. Like, I'll be there in a minute. It's okay. Like, I'll be there. And he's just like, no, Greg, you can talk to a girl later. We have to do this now. And I was just like, look at Greg and I was just like, so it was nice talking to you. And he was just like, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go do a live stream now. I was like, okay, good luck. Like,
but wait a second. You just said that you're the person that when they do a show, you're like trying to corral everybody and get everybody.
Oh, no. That's when I'm performing. I'm not performing when I'm going to see The Room. I'm just like.
No, I'm saying Tommy Wiseau is doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah. No, Tommy does the same
thing.
Come on,
Greg. Don't talk to pretty lady.
Greg, we have to do live stream. Yes. We have to do live stream right now, Greg.
The bearded lady's tearing me apart. But, wow.
I have spent so much money on fucking Tommy Wiseau, though. Like, he could. Like wait 5 fucking minutes so I can talk to Greg Sestero because like I've bought his DVD, I've bought his fucking boxers, I've bought the shirts, like I have a bunch of like The Room like stuff, you know, and you know he can wait 5 minutes while I just get to talk to Greg, like the one time I've ever met Greg Sestero, and like he doesn't go to screenings very often, he doesn't do all of that, so he actually came to the Egyptian and like introduced it and everything, and he, you know, it was like after, I think it was after the Golden Globes, after that whole thing happened with what's his face? James Franco.
When he ran up and
Tommy tried to grab the mic and James was just like, no! But like, I actually got into a fight with like some producer in a bar about that because he was just like, I think that was so disrespectful. And I was just like, have you ever met Tommy?
Yeah.
And he was just like, no. And I was just like, have you ever heard Tommy talk? And he was just like, no. And I was just like, have you ever been in a room where Tommy's like talking? You've never watched like
it's
a YouTube
for his
video.
Own good.
And I was just like, seriously? It is for the good of Tommy Wiseau. Yeah. It is for the good of James Franco. And it is for the good of everybody at the Golden Globes that he didn't get a hold of that microphone.
Yep, yep, yep.
I was like, I 100% understand why James Franco
did
that.
You think Kanye's bad?
Oh,
like, literally,
God.
Like, get Tommy Wiseau on the
book. But at least you can understand that.
Yeah, you can understand Kanye, Tommy.
Have you had other celebrities hit on you, let's say?
Yes.
None that you're
going
to talk about on air?
It was pre-beard. I haven't really had too many celebrities hit on me like with the beard that I've really noticed. Really? But like pre-beard, I've definitely had celebrities like hitting on me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And but I mean, your dating life is, I mean.
I don't really date.
Really?
Yeah.
So I know you've been in a relationship, and I know you're,
yeah,
you're into men and women.
I'm pansexual.
Yeah.
I've dated men and women. I don't really care what a person's gender is, so long as they're like a good person.
Right.
Like, that's the only thing that matters to me, is that a person's a good person and that they're interesting and that they're funny and that I can get along with them and that they understand that I'm into some like serious nerd shit. So like, yeah.
Nerd shit, really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm like huge in like all the Marvel movies. Like, I got
that's not nerd. I was gonna be like, no, what level like, dungeon master are you?
I want to play Dungeons and Dragons.
I do too. I snubbed it my entire life, and now like I watch people play it. I'm like, this looks fun.
I know. I'm like dying to play Dungeons and Dragons, but nobody I know plays it.
You're blowing it. You're nerd gum lately. You're blowing it.
I'm a nerd. I'll be the first to admit it. I am a total absolute.
Talk about being a nerd, and I'll be right back.
All
right. Okay. No, I got to do something with the camera, but you.
Okay, all right.
No,
I'm, like, I've been dying to play Dungeons. I wanted to play it for so long.
Like, okay, so watching. I'm blank on his fucking name. The guy does Rick and Morty.
Justin Roiland or Dan Harmon?
Dan Harmon.
Okay.
So Dan Harmon had this Dan Harmon like brought this guy up. He has this show, I forget the name, I think it's a Kill Tony or some shit,
right?
And basically like they do this like live action show, and he met this like dungeon master kid who's like a total nerd who lives with his mom, which is not a bad thing.
No.
And literally like he created this show, like he just brought a dungeon master on, and just watching him fucking do his thing, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, like this is a level of creativity. And I was an actor for years. I used to do improv, you know, like I used to do all this stuff. Now I do stand up, and the reason I do stand up now is because I don't like to work out, you know, like I'm all personality now, you know, like I got tired of bowing down to the corporate lords that told me I have to look a certain way or whatever. You know, I had a baby face with no beard.
You still have a baby face.
And I was 6'2" in 2006 when Tom Cruise was running shit.
So how tall are you now then?
I'm 6'3". I haven't shrank. I'm wearing flats too. That's it. I got one more inch before I fucking turned like 30, and that was it. But no, okay, so you want to talk about nerds, all right? You want to talk about directors?
Yeah.
Nerdy directors.
All right, let's talk about John Waters.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Because the second you said that fucking Tommy Wiseau is like your favorite director, I was like, excuse me, but John Waters is literally the man. And don't take this
the coolest man alive.
The coolest man alive.
Oh, my God.
He owns the Leftorium and the Simpsons. And don't take this the wrong way. Literally, I was looking at you and I was like, he reminds me of fucking Divine. Like, without the makeup, don't take this the wrong way.
I take that as the highest of compliments.
Yeah, you. Okay, I hope so. Because, like, literally, Divine... Okay, I'm a straight fucking male that grew up in the fucking 80s and 90s, okay? Mm-hmm. I am not supposed to like John Waters, okay?
You jerked off to Divine before.
No, I've never jerked off to Divine before.
Okay, I thought this is where it was going.
Just a big fan of her freedom.
Yes.
And what she stood for. Mm-hmm. I think she was a beacon for people that weren't there. And I'm actually a scumbag. I've already disclosed that to everybody.
Yeah.
And I say horrible shit all the time, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All the fucking time. But I don't have one bad thing to say about Divine. Divine owned her fucking time and place.
Yep.
She was a goddamn fucking rock star and did it incredibly. It took a Johnny Depp movie to get me into John Waters. I saw Crybaby and was like just enthralled. I was like, oh my, who are all these people? Like, you know, I mean, let's talk about Lorraine or the one chick who ran over somebody and is in jail now. But you know that, right? Amy Locane.
Oh, yeah, Amy Locane. Oh.
Yeah.
I think she just got out, though.
Did she?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Amy. Yeah. But you met John Waters, right?
Yeah, I met John Waters.
Oh, my God. I'm so jealous.
I met him at Book Soup. He was doing a signing up at Book Soup just down the street, and I bought his book, and I grabbed two friends, and I was like, "We're going to meet fucking John Waters."
That's awesome.
And I'd met him like a month before I started growing out my beard, but like I went to this signing, and I waited in line for like 3 hours, and I finally got to meet John Waters. And the first thing he said to me was like, "Have you heard of this bearded lady?" And I was just like, "No, I haven't." And he goes, "You should really look into her." And like she like, you know, had like a restaurant, and she like basically owned like half this town, and like was super cool. And he goes, "But I totally love your look. I love that you have like full face of makeup and a beard. You should be doing like ad campaigns. You should be like modeling. I want to see you on the front page of like magazines." And I was just like, "Thank you."
Prophetic.
Yeah, yeah. And he goes, "You know, out of everybody that came here tonight, like you win. You're the winner." And I was just like, "Yes, John Waters." And I hand him my Odorama card that I grabbed out of my dad's laser disc of polyester.
Oh, wow.
And I like brought that to get him to sign it for my dad, and he was just like, "You're too young to know what this is." And I was just like, "No, I have to tell you a story." So the minute I turned 17, my dad goes, "You want to start watching NC-17 movies?" And I was like, "Yes, please." And he goes, "All right, so
wax your beard first.
Watch Pink Flamingos." He goes, "Watch Pink Flamingos." I watched it. My mom was so mad at him that he let me watch that movie. And he was just like, "She's 17. I can't change."
That's cool. The sad part about it, though, now that the world has caught up with John Waters, he can't get a movie made.
I know.
That's fucking terrible. But hold on. We're in Trump's America right now, okay? Let's this time pass. This time right
That's
now.
That's why he's doing stand up and he's doing books.
The second I get something going along, I'm gonna like totally reach out to him and make sure that he's a part of it. John, I'd love to rape your fan base and more importantly give you work as well. Okay, like either way, I like that Simpsons episode is probably my favorite Simpsons episode besides the monorail episode, which is everybody's favorite. But like, that episode is fucking incredible. Like, literally, anytime I'm turning a corner with anything in my hands, I go, "Hot stuff coming through." Like, every time. Nobody gets the reference. I've done it a million times. Oh, I actually got kicked off of a – like a production shoot that I was working on because I was carrying like dolly rails and you're supposed to say hot points when you come around the corner. And the entire day I was like, "Hot points coming through." And some gay producer heard it, was like, "Fuck that guy, fire him." And I was just, and I got fired.
Wow.
Yeah.
As John cute Waters, as you are.
Herbert, John dude. Waters got you fired.
Hey, it's okay, Johnny. It's all right. Trust me. You got me through some awkward years when I was a kid.
Well, where does the time go? I told you it goes by so quick.
We're already done.
No. You would think that would be enough.
Is this like where we fight to the death?
The Dakota's got a couple things going on.
I do have.
I'm gonna be over here because I want to make sure the camera gets it.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so I've got two things to show you guys. Actually, the first one is something that I love to do. It's called the human blockhead. And I'm actually going to do it a little bit differently. Most time when you see a human blockhead, you think, oh, like they're going to hammer a nail into their nose, which is what the human blockhead is. But I like to do things differently. So I have with me a pair of hair cutting scissors.
Are you cutting my tongue?
No, I'm going to put these scissors directly into the center of my head. But wait, there's more.
Oh! And then she licks it.
Oh, gotta keep my tools clean.
That was hot.
Thank you. And then the second thing that I have to show you guys is this mousetrap. I bought it at Home Depot, and it's covered in lipstick.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you why that is.
Fucking shit right there.
So because of like my I told you I have like an adrenal gland issue, because I have too much adrenaline, I don't feel pain the same way that everybody else does. So it takes about 2 pounds of pressure to break the spine of a mouse, killing it instantly. I'm going to take those life-ending 2 pounds of pressure, and I'm going to apply them directly to my tongue.
Go.
Ready?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Ow. Oh!
Come on, give her a applause.
Yeah.
I'm holding the camera.
Thank you. Awesome. So it's actually funny. I don't know how much like YouTube you guys watch, but I'm like super obsessed with Shane Dawson, mm-hmm. and he's doing this whole docuseries about Jake Paul right now. And like in part 5, which he just released like on Monday, they went to like Jake Paul's house, and like one of the guys.
Who's Jake Paul?
He's a YouTuber. Yeah.
Is he that douchebag that found the ghosts in Japan and then pissed off the entire country of Japan?
No, that's his brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, Jake Paul used to be on like some Disney Channel show, and he's like one of the most hated people on YouTube and stuff.
Really? Why?
Wasn't oh, just like
gotta, you got to gotta be a fucking real
that
asshole
is a whole
to be hated.
Because
he's a pretty boy and a dude.
That's a whole other episode.
Actually, like, you at 19, if
that
there was YouTube.
That was Logan. That was his brother.
I was the most gentle,
but, so,
pretty
you at
19, person.
If there was YouTube, you would be on YouTube.
But so,
I would not
so,
have. Would have been able to figure
so
it out.
So one of like Jake's friends who lives at his house, he like snapped a mousetrap on his tongue, and like it super made me cringe because he did it wrong. So... like there was a really high chance of him actually knocking his front teeth out the way that he did it. So you guys saw the way that I do it is I hold the mousetrap against my chin, uh-huh. and I just put my tongue over it and let it snap that way, or else the bar will hit the front of your teeth.
That makes
and
sense.
Like it, I was like, I watched that on Monday and I was cringing like so hard, just like, oh my god, you're gonna knock your damn teeth out, you're gonna knock your damn teeth out. He didn't, but like I have to say, like, I do not recommend doing this.
Yeah. Train professionally, people.
But if you have to snap your tongue with a mousetrap, make sure you press the wood of the mousetrap directly against your chin and, like, stick your tongue out over it, like, kiss. You know, like Gene Simmons does, mm-hmm. he, like, sticks his tongue out like that. You stick out your tongue like Gene
Same
Simmons.
Same thing for a blowjob,
and then
kids.
Snap it. I yes. mean, I don't know what kind of blowjobs you're getting,
right?
Giving,
vicious
ones. Like,
well,
those sound really uncomfortable.
The wood goes right up against the bottom of it. Goes against the bottom of the lip, like
uh-huh.
you said.
Uh huh.
And then you make sure you open your mouth uh-huh. so you don't get the teeth in the way. You don't
right,
want
right.
any teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the night is young, and Hannah and Brandon just met, so
there you go. Yeah,
I don't know what's going to happen later on.
What made you do the scissors versus anything else?
So I started with a hammer and nail, and that was just like super predictable.
Right.
Everybody, you know, does scissors and nail, or everybody does nails. And so right. I work at Beetle House on Hollywood Boulevard. So I actually do two things at Beetle House. I do a spoon, which my like joke with that is, you know how they say some people are born with a silver spoon in their mouths?
Yeah.
Well, I just got to do everything different. And then a friend of mine like mentioned, he was just like, hey, like you should do scissors instead of like a nail, because like uh-huh. the nail's just like it's just like everybody does it. So right. I started doing the scissors. So I bought a pair of hair cutting scissors and I started doing that because like I'd see.
How ironic.
Yeah, nose hair cutting scissors.
And they are sharp. Yeah. They are extremely sharp. You know, I when I do my walk around at Beetle House, I like have like a little like notebook paper, and I like have people like give a little cut just to like prove that it's real. And I have this whole spiel that I give them, and like, you know, I get them like really stressed out, and like they're like, oh god, I'm gonna be like sticking scissors into her face. And then I'm like, all right, so then give this piece of paper a cut, and they're just like, what? Oh my god, what am I doing?
That's awesome.
Paper? And I'm just like, yeah, paper, just cut the paper.
Yeah.
Okay. They cut the paper, and then I take the scissor and I stick it in my face, and they're just like, I'm so confused.
Yes.
It's great.
It's
I love
fun.
It. I love seeing people's faces when I do that stuff. It's so much fun.
I'll definitely have to come down to Beetle House and see
Yeah,
you.
Totally. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Well,
and,
this show has been a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun.
It's a great show. Now, Brandon, how do people get a hold of you? And tell us about any comedy shows going on. You're going to be on Netflix soon as part of
As soon as they get done editing it, whatever. The White Trash Comedy Tour, that is correct. We were going to get a tour out of it, too. So we're going to, like, travel around a little bit, hit the road, which is super cool.
It's like the Blue Collar Comedy Tour at Better Pots.
And on top of it, we're just, like, funnier, you know? Like, we're not, like, just talking about being rednecks. Okay. We actually have, like, comedy that
Liam's part of the tour.
Us.
Our friend Liam B. So
we all represent like a different kind of white trash. That was the whole point of the show.
And what's
Liam's
like biker white trash.
Right.
And then we had a kid named Anthony Davis who was like country white trash. His whole bit's on like fucking or his sister being a fucking
I know.
Yeah, all right. So there's Anthony. Then there's Pache, who's gay white trash. I'm white urban trash. I'm white trash from like the city. You know, like I own guns, but I also support Roe vs. Wade. You know, the Latinas are fertile. You know, like you got to have the escape plan ready to go. You know, I'm totally. I'm a little more progressive, but still a little more back there. You know.
So I don't think you have a website because I was looking, but you have Instagram, you got Facebook?
I got the Instagram. Instagram's B-Money was here. You can just search me on Facebook as Brandon Brocato.
Or Tinder.
If you get so lucky, you know, like I usually just...
Who super liked who?
I erase. We just liked each other. Yeah. I don't really super like. I don't like doing that, really, yeah. Tell you the truth. And really, like... I really don't even use Tinder very often. Like I have.
Everybody says that.
I learned.
No, you don't. It's like when you're bored.
Yeah, you like look at it. You're like, all right, I guess, whatever.
We're bored.
See, I don't
bored
do
17
Bumble.
Hours of the
I'm not.
Day.
I'm not hot enough for Bumble. Like I get no. Like I get nothing.
Oh my
on
god,
Bumble.
No. People match with me all the time on Bumble, and then as soon as I send them a message, because a girl has to send the first message on Bumble. As soon as I send them a message, they fucking unmatch me, and I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Rude. And you know what's rude? Bumble. Okay. And so is Tinder. All right. Listen, people. Okay. Go out and fucking just be yourself in public. You'll run into somebody that wants to fucking lick parts of you. Okay.
But we don't want them to lick parts of us. Usually it's like, go away.
I know
people
that.
Who want to three, are three not four, the people so that you so want
that's,
to.
So that's Brandon Brocato, Brocato.
Yeah. Brocato.
Brocato. And Dakota, how do people get a hold of you?
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. All at Dakota's Beard. You can find my Facebook fan page, facebook.com/Dakota's Beard, Instagram, Dakota's Beard, Twitter, Dakota's Beard. You are going to be able to find me on YouTube soon at Dakota's Beard.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm working on that, getting onto the platform, finally, like, trying to get my self out there and everything. So
subscribe to that channel.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun one. So, a lot of vlogging.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm going to be like showing, like, I bought those Snapchat glasses that like record things. So I'm like figuring out how to like download the videos from the glasses onto my computer.
Wow.
So that I can use that. Like,
the
every
ugliest
time.
Glasses in the history of the world.
They're so ugly, they're but I so love ugly. Them so much. I just love ugly things. Like, ugly
Fair
things
enough.
Are so great.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. Well, no wonder you're on my show. But anyway. And then there's Hail Hannah Bach on all social media.
B-A-K-K, not B-A-C-H. And it's pronounced Bach, not back.
Did I say back?
People.
I said Bach.
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 And Goth Comedian on all social media. I wish we could stay. We're going to have both of you back soon.
Yes, we are.
Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.